Who's got that kind of time anyway?
If Courtney and I ever got a divorce, it would be because I listened to too many podcasts. I think that would be the what would do it in.
Irreconcilable over podcasts.
I'm 75 podcasts.
Your Honor, the podcast he listens to.
Let's get the show on the road. Hello and welcome back to Sports Flicks, Just Give Us Clicks. My name is Philip and I am with Rob, Josh, and Bud. And we are going to have a new mini episode for you today. For this mini episode, the topic is, what are the sports movies that you don't want to admit that you like, but you do? So what are those movies that when they come on, you pretend you're not a fan? When it comes down to it, you're watching right along with everybody else. So we're going to start off the conversation with Mr. Bud.
Okay, leading with me. All right. This was actually a hard question for me because a lot of these movies, I pretty much am okay with admitting that I like. So I had to pick ones that aren't typically popular amongst like the mass audiences. The first one I actually had quite a few as a result. So I'm going to go with my first one, which is Waterboy. I know a lot of people hate it, but honestly, I enjoy watching it. If I'm flipping through the channels and I see Waterboy's on, I'm probably going to stop and watch it. I know it's cartoonish. It's ridiculous. It's not realistic, but it's just fun. And I like seeing him blow people up. It's a good time for me. I've also got Any Given Sunday on my list because I just like that movie. I know it's not critically acclaimed by any stretch. It's over the top in terms of what a typical NFL team would do. But I like the action scenes, even though they're not necessarily realistic. And the movie itself just always entertains me. I'm not going to list all the ones I had because I don't want to take someone else's. But we mentioned this on the last pod. Eddie is a good movie. It's funny. And then I like the movie Juana Man. And actually, I should have thought of him on our last podcast for a possible fictional character on my team. But I think that movie's funny. And then there's another movie that's got Martin Lawrence in it called Rebound, where he coaches this youth basketball team. That's pretty funny, too. And I found every single one of these movies on lists online of movies that aren't critically acclaimed, I guess you could say, in the sports movie category. But they're all movies that I personally like. The
thing with Waterboy is it just hasn't aged well.
Yeah,
because when it came out, it was extremely popular with people our age. I remember coming into one of my high school classes and everyone talking about The Waterboy. I, at that time, wasn't a big fan and didn't see the appeal, but it is a movie that a lot of people love. I just think it hasn't aged quite as well, which a lot of 90s movies don't necessarily probably age, aren't the same when we watch them with 2021 eyes. But no, that's...
I love Waterboy. I still like Waterboy. To me, it's funny that people don't seem to like it because it's just Adam Sandler just being insanely stupid. It's supposed to not take itself seriously. The opposing coach's head turns into a cocker spaniel. And there's nothing really legitimately you're supposed to take serious in there. Mama says everything's the devil.
And then when that big guy, it's a pleasure playing this game with you today, and I'll be playing with your mama tonight. And it was just like completely unprovoked, and then he just blows him up.
No, I love my mama.
I don't know. I just think it's funny. And then with Any Given Sunday, it's like that movie came out like right before the Michael Vick era, if I remember the timeline correctly. And having a quarterback that came in there, this young guy that could run around and do all the stuff that whatever Jamie Foxx's character's name was. I just thought it was Willie entertaining. Beeman. Yep, Stephen Willie Beeman. That's right. Yep.
I'm really considering for my next pick.
If one of you guys doesn't pick it, I'll pick it at some point.
It's a polarizing movie. So it's one of those movies either people hate it or they love it. It seems like there's not a lot of people that are kind of in the middle on that movie, which makes it big for something like this, I think.
And I haven't seen that movie, but I don't think I've heard anything but good things about it from most people that I've heard talk about it. So maybe Josh is correct in that it's either you love it or you hate it, and it's somewhat equal, maybe.
If you can look past some of the ridiculousness, it is a good movie.
It's an Oliver Stone movie. The expectations, I want to say it, this is after Natural Born Killers is in the line of his directorial phonography. There was a lot of anticipation about Any Given Sunday and how it was going to just take the sports movie world by storm and how it's supposed to change. The NFL originally was attached to the movie, but they pulled out because they were too worried about becoming a bit too more real and graphic with the violence. And the NFL even wanted to distance themselves from that back then. And that's how you ended up with the odd team names in that movie, like the Miami Sharks. But really, I still to this day, I think Any Given Sunday really holds up and is a very solid football movie.
Honestly, we had a previous pod about like soundtracks for montages of movies. Is there any better one than what Any Given Sunday has for some of their action scenes? And then I still think that movie, the Al Pacino speech in the locker room, is the best one I've heard in a sports movie, personally.
It's right up there. Gene Hackman and Hoosiers has a good one, but yeah, really.
That is true.
It's right up there. If you ever want to get psyched up, pull on the YouTube that and they'll make you want to run through.
Yeah, it always pumps me up every time I watch that movie. Like that speech, it's, man, I want to strap on the shoulder pads and go out there again.
I always think of that movie. My favorite scene in that movie is Lawrence Taylor scene in the sauna with Willie Beeman. And Jamie, this is after Jamie Foxx has completely burned bridges at this point, because I mean, he comes in as the backup QB, come in and he's going off and he's having a couple weeks, and then he's burned his bridges, he's made enemies with his offensive line, and then you got old Lawrence Taylor in there, old football guy who's been taking way too many PEDs at this point.
He still gets that roster bonus at the end when he tackles that guy on fourth down. What else I like about that movie is that it doesn't end with them winning a Super Bowl. Like, it just ends with them winning a wild card playoff game. And it's a lot of those types of movies, they usually end up winning it all at the end, but this one isn't one of them.
Yeah, that's a great point to that movie. It isn't necessarily the happy ending that's ridiculous over the top, but Al Pacino is taking Willie Beeman to the expansion franchise and screwing over Cameron Diaz.
And I like how the team doctor in that, we probably shouldn't go into too much in case one of us picks it, but. Like how the team doctor is kind of like the...
All I know is here are Bud and Rob spoiling a 22-year-old movie for me that I probably should have seen before, but I haven't. So now I might as well not watch it.
Yeah. And I like Eddie. I was gonna pick that as one of my movies.
Yeah, so. Sorry. I was worried. I didn't want to take one of yours.
No, it's good. I have others.
Go ahead and continue, Josh.
Yeah. Okay. I was going to say with Eddie, I like it. It's one of those 90s-ish sports movies that has a lot of like real pro athletes in it. It had the whole black hole of basketball scene that was funny, like made me laugh. And then just the different.
You just call me a black hoe.
Or somebody is like, a black hole is an object where no matter, not even light, can escape it. You know, shooting free throws, everybody's like. And it was a good scene. And then you had the goofy stuff with Yvonne, like I mentioned him, like in the last pod. But then you also had you had enough realistic stuff in there to add like real weight to some of the stuff going on. Like you had the owner, who I can't think of that actor's name, but he plays like the old stodgy guy in a lot of stuff, and he's does really good at, you know, just saying, hey, it's all about the show, and it's all about, I didn't hire you to be a good coach, I hired you because you're fun and you're like my rodeo clown, basically. So it had enough weight to it to make it interesting too. So I don't know, I liked it, but
it was a good show.
Josh, do you have any more you'd like to add?
As far as my movies go, since, you know, that one's off the table, I'll say Replacements. I like that movie. I don't know if that one's considered good or not, but I really like it. Like, I know Rob too, for sure. It's fun.
I like that movie too. I like that movie too.
It's good. And I tried to pick movies that I looked at the Rotten Tomatoes score, and if it was like a splat, then I considered it in my list. So that movie's good. It's just a fun football movie. It's cool. And it's about an interesting point in time. Also, Gene Hackman as a coach. So that's another thing there to go with the Hoosier stuff. I say The Longest Yard with Adam Sandler, the one with that. I thought that one was funny. I don't know. He had a bunch of roided up dudes. Then he had like Terry Crews, like it ain't easy. McDonald's cheeseburgers were like gold in the prison. It was so
easy being cheesy.
That's when I first discovered Terry Crews, and he was in a bunch of movies after that. And he became like, who's that guy? He's hilarious. So I was glad for that movie. Then I had a Kicking and Screaming. I thought that movie was good. Will Ferrell, Bud's mentioned it before.
I love it.
Then two older ones. I had two older ones. One was. One that I used to watch with my dad a lot, it was Ladybugs with Rodney Dangerfield, his fiance's son-in-law or something. He dressed her up like a girl to play on the girls' soccer team so that he could win. And it was a pretty funny movie. And I'm pretty sure it's probably, I don't know, probably has an age either. I haven't watched it in years, but we used to watch it a lot. And I remember liking it. So I was going to list that one. And then lastly, The Program. I like The Program. I thought, if you want to talk about The Program is probably any given Sunday version of College Football. And so that was very
although good. It's a good movie. I like The Program.
That was a good movie. So those are my four-ish movies that I'm
missing there.
I really wanted to. I was going to. I wanted to leave some meat on the bone there.
I had less, but I was like, Josh will probably do that one. So
yeah, I know. I really wanted to say that one. Yeah.
I completely forgot about Ladybugs. I haven't seen that movie in ages.
It's on the top 10 list of worst sports movies that I saw. And I remember watching it too and thinking it's funny. It's actually not bad.
Kind of funny. I don't know why it was so railroaded, but I don't know. Maybe if I watched any football movies, so I had to throw in a couple soccer movies.
It's honestly, man, Rodney Dangerfield is just hysterical.
Yes. He just does his shtick or whatever for that movie. He's hilarious.
Don't take it seriously. Ladybugs is great.
No, I want to watch that movie again. It's been so long since
I haven't seen it in a long time either. I kind of want to watch it again, too.
If you ever wanted to venture into a nerd pod, we could actually say bad movie pod. And I could never get my wife to watch some of these films.
That's a good list, Josh. Rob, what do you have on your list?
All right. So I'm going to start with For Love of the Game, which is a Kevin Costner movie. It frankly bombs, I mean, as an actual full movie, but the premise to it is brilliant and it's so wonderful. I love the story behind it. And to actually have a Chappell up on Billy Chappell, who's the pitcher. He's up on the mound. It's his final game. He knows it's going to be his final game. He's had a long career. He's on a stink team. This team blows. And he's at New York, and he's playing the New York Yankees in Yankee Stadium. And his wife is leaving him. He knows he's made mistakes. And he's up there on the mound, which I'm not a pitcher. I never pitched, but I can be a lonely individual, and I can imagine just how bizarre it actually is to be a pitcher, and where you're just standing on the mound and it's all you have your guys behind you, but you are literally by yourself. So you have your thoughts. It's a stupid human trick. You're trying to throw a ball through, what is it, a 2-foot window? It's insane. So he's up there and he's blanked his mind and he's completely thinking about his life, his career, his mistakes of his relationship. And he's throwing a perfect game. He doesn't even know he's doing it. And I love that movie just for the premise of it. And it's one of those things where it plays on TBS where you're like flipping through your channels and you see it and you're just like, I got nothing else to watch. So you're like, okay, I guess I'm watching For Love of the Game again today. That one's definitely up there.
What's crazy about that? I don't feel like TV does how far the pitcher's mound is from home plate justice. If you've ever been on especially a major league field and seen how far that throw actually is, and these guys are zipping it, like you said, in like a 2x3 or 3x2 window,
it's hard
for a strike. Yeah. It's crazy how good those guys are.
I think it's a stupid human trick. You remember how David Letterman back in the day used to have stupid human tricks where he would just bring on some random asshole who could do something nuts? A pitcher is literally doing a stupid human trick. And I think an NFL place kicker is doing a stupid human trick too. But nothing but respect for them until they do the Brad Lidge thing and they give up the home run to Albert Pujols. Then you know what? Get out of my face. Yeah. I don't want to ever see you again.
He was never the same again after that, wasn't he?
Oh, he's done.
He fell apart, right?
He was like a French soldier in World War I, man. He was completely shell-shocked. He wasn't coming back.
It's like the whole Chuck Knobloch thing where all of a sudden he just couldn't throw to
first base anymore. It was crazy. Yeah.
League two with Rube.
They started reading articles or whatever.
Yeah. But you can get a sense of how far the pitcher's mound is from home plate when you see the first pitch. Whenever you see just random
People yeah. leaving it short.
And it's always short. And that's where you get a sense of how far it is.
Yeah.
But if you watch a game on TV, how often do they show the first pitch? Maybe more often than I think, or maybe some teams show it more than others. But
they do if it's somebody really famous.
If you watch the local broadcast, I watch, this might be embarrassing, but I watch probably 90% of the Astro games every season. And so you see a lot of the first pitch. It's just a clip thing. They'll be like, oh, hey, who's with firefighter group B? And throws out the first pitch. And bounces it not even halfway. But
I feel like that's always the goal. The goal when you do the first pitch is basically don't make a bounce.
Yeah.
Just throw it to home without having a bounce.
Even if, Mike and Mike used to, I remember they were going to throw it out at an Indians game one time. They were talking about one morning. They're like, we don't care if we have to lob it up there. Like, we're not worried about MPH. We just want to not bounce it. Just save get it over space. The plate. And Mike Golic was an NFL player, literally a world-class athlete. It's different, man. It's different being a pitcher. Much respect.
It is. Another film of mine that I know is not good or embarrassing that I'll admit that I actually watch a lot. Not a lot. But again, if you're like going through the guide and you see it and I'm like a moth to the flame and I'm going to watch this movie, it's Wimbledon. And I don't know if you guys have ever.
I've never seen it.
It's not particularly good. But I like tennis, and the story on this is, I'm a sucker for premise, right? So Paul Bettany is the lead in this movie, and Kirsten Dunst is the female lead, and they're both tennis stars. Paul Bettany, it was Peter Colt. It's Peter Colt is the guy he's playing, and this is a tennis player that's basically on his last legs. He's 130th or 120th ranked at this point. Once upon a time, he was like top 10, barely top 10. Never really won anything, but now he's faded all the way back. It's at Wimbledon. He's English. No one gives a bleep about him. And then he sees Kirsten Dunst, and she's wearing a really good sports bra. He's attracted to her, and all of a sudden, now he's going to go win Wimbledon. So it's a good movie. It's entertaining.
Seems very family-friendly.
Very family-friendly movie. It's junk. I know it's trash, but I enjoy it. And that's what this whole premise of this podcast is. The most embarrassing one that I've watched far too many times, and I really shouldn't admit, is Stick It. And have you guys ever seen this one? No, it's not that kind of sports movie.
Gymnastics, right?
Like Gladiator?
It's a women's gymnastics movie that oddly stars Jeff Bridges, who is by far and away a top 10, top five favorite actor. So I've watched a lot of Jeff Bridges movies over the years. Stick It is one of his movies. I don't know why he's in it, but he's in it. And he's the coach. He's a gymnastics coach. And this one girl, she's had a tough life, and she's bounced around gym to gym. And she ends up in his gym, and she's really talented. The stunts in this movie are outstanding. If you actually just enjoy watching flips and moves and athletic ability, the movie's really fun to watch. And there is one sequence where they do electric six, which I know you guys don't really do like EDM, type music, but electric six is a really good group. And they've got a track that's called Dance Commander. And there's a clip in that movie where they do a series of the girls doing different floor routines and flips. They do incredible edits with this. The editing on this is actually really good. And it's fun. And story's kind of crap again, but the movie's fun just to watch because no one's around and I can sit here and go, it's embarrassing, but sure, it's fun.
Well, I feel like a gymnastics movie named Stick It probably hasn't aged very well.
If you would have said Bring It On, then it would have been way too obvious who his crush was. So
more than one Kirsten Dunst movie.
Gotta keep you off my trail. Man, I love Spider-Man. You guys like
Spider-Man? The Tobey Maguire
one. Yeah, the good ones. Back before the whole MCU thing. Sam Raimi, man, he makes the best Spider-Man movies.
Rob, is that all you've got?
And Drumline. Drumline. Is Drumline considered a sports movie?
I would include Drumline.
I've watched Drumline far too many times, and it's entertaining every single time I watch it.
Word in that movie, though, that's not a guilty pleasure.
What?
Seriously? In Drumline, wasn't that? Or am I thinking of something else?
No, Drumline didn't win.
There was another one about drums, but radio was
not. Yeah, I was confusing Drumline with radio. You're thinking of Remember the Titans.
They both involve people with Down syndrome.
And Remember the Titans, that one spot.
They like to beat on stuff.
Drumline's one of those movies that I made fun of when it first came out, similar to Seabiscuit. I think I've admitted on a podcast. And I didn't get it. And I don't even know how I ended up watching it. I think it was just one of those random things where I was bored and it just came on and probably was drunk and didn't know where the remote was. But it's fun. Honestly, I don't like Nick Cannon that much. I'm not a Nick Cannon fan, but it's fun.
You're not
it's
a Nick Fannin?
But I 100% was going to say that. And to say, I'm glad that you came in to say that.
But he is a twihard.
No, Rob, I get it, though, because I think that Drumline movie was on a couple of times on TV or something at some point in time. And I ended up watching it a couple of times, too. And I didn't think it was here. It was not bad. It was entertaining. So I know what you mean. I was thinking of Whiplash, by the way. So that was my wrong. J.K. Simmons. Okay. So stop. Is that as ridiculous as thinking it's radio? Just wanted to drop radio. So
Danny Jr., here we go.
So give us the synopsis on that one, but I forgot what's it about.
What is radio?
This is a podcast about bad movies you like. I wouldn't put that in that category. It's actually, which I'll say this about radio. It is a really good story. Like how I forget which team it was, LSU or anyways, like they embrace this guy who always brings his radio to practice every day, and like the whole team got Down syndrome. The whole team like makes feel good about himself. It's a good story. Just the movie itself didn't really live up. I feel like Cuba Gooding Jr. kind of overdid it a little bit.
No way, Cuba Gooding Jr. overdoing a role or app.
But we probably shouldn't go too in depth on that one. Not on this pod, anyway.
I'll go ahead and give a few of mine. Just like Josh, I also have The Replacements. That is one I wasn't sure if I wanted to put because I love that movie and know so many people that love it.
But I don't know anybody that doesn't like it, but you're right. I saw it on a lot of those lists.
Maybe I just hang around people who like it. I don't discuss that movie with people that don't like it.
We like the lowbrow humor.
I love The Replacements. And that is one that anytime it's on, no matter if I'm flipping through the channels, no matter where it's at, I will sit and just watch the rest of the movie. I have a few more, and this is one that I wouldn't admit to ever liking. You all would probably seem surprised about it because I love musicals. And you would think that I would love High School Musical. And that particular movie, I've never been a big Disney musical fan other than the animated. I love the animated stuff. But whenever Disney does their live musicals, especially in the early 2000s, I was never a fan. But then Courtney, my wife, we watched all three of them. We do movie nights and we ended up watching all three of them in a 2 month span or something. And I relatively enjoyed them enough to put them on my list. Yeah. Now, I feel like those are the type of movies that's so stupid that it's pretty good. At points, it takes itself too seriously, which makes it hilarious. But I put that movie on there. There was one movie I would be surprised if you guys had ever heard of. It was a 1998 made for TV Disney movie that was on like Disney Sunday night or whatever. And it's called The Garbage Picking Field Goal Kicking Philadelphia Phenomenon. Yeah, it stars Tony Danza. He is a garbage man. People make fun of his job near the beginning of the movie. But he realizes because he has to kick his garbage truck. So I don't know, it doesn't work. So he has to kick it all the time. That he has quite the leg and is a good field goal kicker. So he tries out and gets on the Eagles football team, the Philadelphia Eagles. And so it's all about him kicking for the Philadelphia Eagles. And it's called The Garbage Picking Field Goal Kicking Philadelphia Phenomenon. And I've seen it.
So it's like a watered down version of Invincible, basically.
Yeah. And I saw it once and I haven't been able to find it since then. I'm dying for it to be on Disney Plus. I don't think it's one of those titles that will ever show up, but it is a great movie. From that one time I saw it back in 98. And then my last one, this movie probably sold about 15, 20 DVDs. And I owned one of them at one point. I do not like it as much anymore for obvious reasons when I tell you what movie it is, but Thunderstruck with Kevin Durant. I actually owned that at one point, and it's like a poor
man. I totally forgot about that movie.
It's like a poor man's Space Jam. If you are someone who doesn't like Space Jam, you definitely wouldn't like Thunderstruck. It's one of those movies that's enjoyable for the ridiculousness and for what it is, which is a dumb movie.
It's a little bit like a poor man's version of Mike, too, right? Because then the kid get Kevin Durant's talent or whatever.
Yeah.
Kind of like how Kevin Durant's kind of a poor man's version of a superstar.
But at one point in the movie, I was very disappointed because Thunderstruck, they have the NBA on TNT guys were in the movie, like talking about halftime about how Kevin Durant all of a sudden sucks at basketball because in the movie, this kid has all of his talent. And so they're talking about it. And Charles Barkley is on the NBA on TNT set discussing. And I'm very disappointed that they didn't make a Space Jam reference about him saying, I remember when I lost my talent 20 years ago. And I was very disappointed they didn't meld those two movies together.
That would have been a great, that's a missed
opportunity. I would have rather enjoyed it.
That was a missed opportunity.
Exactly. Yeah. It would have been good. But yeah, those are my movies. Rob, do you have any thoughts? You're laughing in your own little Zoom
screen. I'm just laughing because I just can't stomach Kevin Durant whatsoever. And it's miserable watching him being crowned champion this year.
Now I'm disappointed that I chose Replacements over Necessary Roughness because that's a great movie and Bud mentioned it. I thought someone else would say it, so I didn't say it, but I should have left the Replacements on the bone and gone with Necessary Roughness. Can't beat it, but
okay. Surprised none of you guys said Varsity Blues.
I didn't think it aged well.
That was my thing. I actually had it on my list as like a tertiary one if all my other ones got taken. But I really liked Varsity Blues when I was younger, but I don't know if I could really watch it nowadays. So that's why I didn't want to include it. But there was a time when Varsity Blues was a good watch for me.
The only thing that's unwatchable to me about Varsity Blues is having to sit here and watch Dawson's Creek attempt to do a Texas accent. That is the only thing. It was pretty bad. In that movie, to me.
You do know that Dawson's Creek is just the name of the show.
No, he's Dawson's Creek. That's his name.
His name is Creek Dawson.
He doesn't have a name anymore. James Van Beerdeck? No, he doesn't have a name no more. He's just Dawson's Creek.
Phil claimed to love Scott Bakula and didn't mention Necessary Roughness, so that's
I am a fan of Scott Bakula.
I'm a fan of Kathy Ireland, so you got it all.
I love Sinbad. The movie of Sinbad can't be bad.
Hey, that was prime Sinbad time, man. Yeah.
Was that the Jingle All the Way time period?
No, that was around there. Yeah. And then what was that movie where he was the bodyguard or whatever? I can't remember that one. He was like a bodyguard for a kid. I can't think of it, but
oh,
kid of the president or whatever. Yeah, his Secret Service. That's what
was it like the president's?
First kid. That's the first.
Because that was a Disney movie, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty much all downhill when you start doing the Disney movies. In Tony Danza land where you're the trash man.
I'm telling you, look that movie up. It's a good one.
It was late 90s.
I keep thinking of that scene in Family Guy where you got Elroy Judson as a grown-up and messed up yelling, you know who I am. Take me to Astro's grave. That's Tony Danza at the end of the 90s.
He's still alive.
Yeah, man.
Exactly. Yeah. That was a great thing. It just nailed certain things sometimes. It's such a funny show.
Speaking of actors, do you guys remember Ernest? Like Ernest Goes Stupid.
I went on a deep dive about him today. No idea why.
What's funny about him? Like I remember in high school, like my dad loved the Ernest movies, man. Josh can attest to this. We watched them all, right? And they were funny, especially when we were kids. But when I was in high school, some kid in one of my classes told me he died.
Yeah, he died.
And that's the thing. Like, I thought he had died 5 years before he actually did. So, like, when I found out he actually died, where he said, because he lived, like, 5 years old, I thought he did. Oh. He already died 5 years ago.
One or so.
He made it 5 years longer than I thought he would. Apparently, all Ernest was a chain smoker. Yeah. I think he got one cancer or something.
Yep.
Dude died when he was 50.
Yeah.
Man,
that's He's crazy. Only 50? Geez.
Only 50.
I figured he wasn't that old, but I just thought he kind of looked younger, but.
That just throws me off that I totally looked him up today and was looking at just Jim Varney, like his filmography for some reason. And then you brought him up on this pod.
Tony Danza, whether or not he's alive, it just made me think of that.
Yeah.
If someone told you Tony Danza died 3 years ago, would you really be that shocked?
It depends, man. If I'm talking to like a younger kid, I probably have to explain who Tony Danza was.
And why are you talking about death?
I don't know. It used to be you would go to Yahoo and you would see the trending top 10 in the internet. And if you ever saw that top name, you just look there and go, oh, I guess they're dead. And you kind of move on. There were so many times when I would see like some random name like Tara Reid or something. I'd be like, oh, I think she's dead. And I would never click on the links or anything and just kind of move on. And then I'd be like, oh, Tara Reid died. And then someone would say, no, she's not. She's alive.
You know, wow.
In fact, they came out with another American Pie a couple of years ago. Yeah. I watched it, I think, on one of the streamers randomly.
Rob, I want to know how many people to this day you think are dead that aren't actually dead only because you saw their name pop up on Yahoo.
Or Yahoo.
I'm pretty sure Tony Danza is dead.
Barker dead.
Tony Danza, if you're listening to this podcast, can you give us a call? Give us an email.
We will have you as a guest. We won't even charge you for it.
You want to talk about how great JP was?
We need to have a JP podcast. And the dude from Back to the Future.
Danny Glover is really a jerk.
Who would you rather have, Danny Glover or his son?
Oh, his son. Yeah.
That would be way more street.
How do people hate Solos? I watched Solo on an airplane going out to Seattle like a year or so ago before COVID. And I loved it. I thought Solo
was
a pretty
good movie.
I liked it.
I don't get the hate. I don't know.
Why do people hate that movie?
Oh, we'll give that kid credit. He's a talented guy. He's a musician. And I just remember him from, what's that show?
Community, dude. That was an underrated show. You want to talk about
that? Yeah,
Community was hilarious.
It's a good show.
Guy's got some skill, man. It's just smooth to him.
And what's his music name? It's something weird.
Childish Gambino.
Yeah,
Childish.
Is he actually Danny Glover's son, though? Like, for real?
I think.
Yeah, I know. It's hard to imagine.
But I feel like that's not a very big deal made out of that. So,
it's because none of these young kids know who Danny Glover is anymore.
You know who
I was in Predator. Yeah, Predator 2 and
Lethal Weapon.
Angels of the Up with JP.
Don't you dare take me to Mel Gibson's house.
I'm like the Angels of the Outfield guy now.
No, you're the
JP. When was the last time you guys have seen Angels in the Outfield?
Maybe 4 or 5
years
ago.
I was like 12.
I haven't seen it since I was like probably 12 or so. And I just wonder, when we watch it and we're like, man, JP's not a good actor. What were we talking about?
How dare you talk down about JP? How dare you?
JP didn't deserve this.
It's been like 20 years, so I have no idea. In my memory, yes, he's awesome, but I have no idea what it'll be like when I rewatch it.
I feel like the actor that plays JP should definitely come on as highly as we talk about him.
We should.
Except I'm bringing negativity on JP's name, so he will not want to show up if I'm here.
We'll do an Angels in the Outfield pod with JP as a special guest.
Now we're talking.
I like trace Phil's IP address to his house.
Well, this has been fun, and thank you all for joining me on this mini episode. Our next podcast will be our movie review on July 5th. Where we will discuss The Bad News Bears. So watch The Bad News Bears. Be ready to listen to us discuss it on July 5th. Talk to you guys next time.